This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our walk through Psalm 119 with How Long Must Your Servant Endure? Fixed in the Heavens, Sweeter Than Honey, A Lamp to My Feet, and My Flesh Trembles. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God,
have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty, eternal God, in the word of your apostles and prophets, you have proclaimed to us your saving will. Grant us faith to believe your promises, that we may receive eternal salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from Romans chapter 5. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person would dare even to God to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th and 10th chapters.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother; James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector; James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus; Simon the Cananean; and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver, nor copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
It's probably evident to most of you that I am not Professor Rothmeier, who's been called away this morning for some various duties. So I am privileged to present to you the sermon that he has prepared for you. Therefore, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For those of you sitting here who spent your morning staring at a grammar chart, the world can feel rather small right now. You are vocabulary stressed and paradigm weary. You're trying to force your brain to look at pi, alpha, iota, delta, epsilon, upsilon, omega, or lamed, met, dalet, and see something other than the ink stains on a page. For those of you in high school, looking forward and wondering if this path, this daunting, language-heavy, intensive path toward church vocations, is truly where you belong, the sure weight of preparation can make you turn inward. It's easy to get trapped in the syntax. It's easy to think the kingdom of God is won or lost on whether you properly identify a Hitfield verb or a subjunctive clause. But our text today breaks us out of our self-absorbed study desks. Jesus stands before us in Matthew chapter 9, and he doesn't hand the disciples a lexicon. He hands them a reality check. Matthew tells us, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. You who are learning Greek will eventually come to know that the word Matthew uses here for compassion is not a polite, intellectual word. It's esplanistha. It means his guts wrenched, his stomach turned. Jesus didn't just look at the crowd and feel a mild theological pity. He felt their brokenness in his flesh. Look at the words Matthew uses to describe the crowd. Eklumenoi, and also eriminoi. They were skinned, mangled, cast down, utterly exhausted. They were bleeding out there on the fields of a broken world, harassed by the devil, helpless under the weight of their own sin, and completely leaderless. And then Jesus turns to his disciples, and he turns to you, and says something incredibly counterintuitive. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, I pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. If you look at a crowd that is mangled, harassed, and dying, you don't normally say, "Look at this great harvest." You say instead, "Look at this disaster. Looks like a casualty ward." But Jesus sees it as a harvest. Why? Because the urgency of the gospel doesn't depend on the strength of the people. It depends on the arrival of a king. The fields are white for harvest precisely because people are desperate for a shepherd. The world out there, the one beyond the confines of this room, The one you will enter is pastors, deaconesses, teachers, field workers. It isn't a pristine classroom. It's a field of broken sheep. Jesus commands, pray earnestly, de'ethete, beg the Lord of the harvest. And notice the immediate divine irony of this text. In the last verse of chapter 9, the disciples are told to pray for laborers. Then, in the very next verse, Jesus calls those same 12 disciples to himself and sends them out. The ones doing the praying become the ones doing the going. You came here to study, to discern, and to prepare. But don't mistake the desk for the destination. The Lord has brought you here to pray for the harvest. And in doing so, he is shaping you to be the very answers to those prayers. He is packing your bags. He is sharpening your tools. When Jesus sends the 12, he gives them authority. He sends them to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he gives them a sermon outline that is remarkably short. Proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For our would-be German scholars, this is where Luther's translation hits the beautiful simplicity. Das Himmelreich ist nahe herbeigekommen. The kingdom has arrived. It is broken in. Jesus tells them to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, and cast out demons. Why? Because when the king is present, the effects of the fall must snap backward. Death, disease, and demonic oppression have no legal standing in the presence of Jesus Christ. Then comes the guiding principle for all church ministry. You received without paying, give without pay. Dorean elabite, dorean dote. This is the antidote to the clerical ambition that ruins ministries. You did not earn your baptism. You did not purchase your justification. You did not negotiate for the Holy Spirit. Everything that matters, your life, your salvation, your calling, is a radical, unmerited gift. Therefore, your future service cannot be a transaction. You aren't selling a product. You're distributing a bounty that belongs to someone else. But let's be honest. When you look at the harvest and then you look in the mirror, you realize the terrifying truth. The laborers are not only few, the laborers are flawed. You get tired. You get cynical. You struggle with secret sins, deep doubts, and the constant temptation to make your theological education about your intellect rather than his glory. If the success of the harvest depended on your stamina, your linguistic perfection, or your charisma, the fields would rot. But look at who is calling you. The one who sends you into the harvest is the same shepherd who allowed himself to be mangled and cast down for you. On the cross, Jesus became the ultimate harassed and helpless sheep. He was skinned by the Roman whips. He was cast down into the dirt of Golgotha. He endured the visceral agony of God's wrath against sin so that you could be cleansed. He did not minister from a safe distance. He went into the dirt to rescue you. And today, he doesn't leave you empty-handed. We move now from the pulpit to the altar. Here, the Lord of the harvest set a table for his tired workers. You who are weary of grammar cards, come. You who are anxious about your future vocations, come. In the Holy Supper, Christ gives you his very body, broken for your failures, and his very blood shed for your sins. This is the ultimate dorean, the free gift given without cost to sustain you for the road ahead. Here, your King feeds you. He heals your sicknesses, cleanses your leprosy, and raises your dead hearts to new life. Eat and drink. Be restored by the shepherd who knows your name. And then when the blessing is spoken and the doors are opened, look out into the world with his eyes. The languages you study are not hoops to jump through. They're tools to unlock the comfort of the Holy Gospel for people who are dying to hear it. The harvest is indeed plentiful. The laborers are few. But the Lord of the harvest is faithful, and he is sending you. In his peace, therefore, go. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
In our prayers, we give thanks together with Reverend Daniel and Rosalie Burfing for the birth of a son, Evan Elijah. Let us pray for the blessings of the church of the Lord Most High on the church and for all people throughout the world. That God would teach the church to be of good courage, to walk by faith and not by sight, to give the faithful a desire for the heavenly dwellings that our Lord Jesus has prepared for us, and to help us always to be ready for Christ's return. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That God would give to each nation leaders who uphold justice, foster peace, and provide for those in every need, and that God would continue to bless our land with liberty and freedom so that we might serve him in the ways that he commands. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That God would grant safety and well-being to all children, especially those who live in danger, poverty, and neglect, and that he would sustain all parents, working in them an abiding love for those under their charge as they rely on them for care and support. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That God would grant joy and a spirit of gratitude to all who celebrate the birth of Evan Elijah. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That God would bring healing and comfort to all who suffer afflictions of every kind, pointing them ever to Jesus, who grants perfect peace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That God would grant faith to all those who approach his altar this day to receive the life-giving body and blood of his Son. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet, in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, through Lamb of God. body of Christ given for you for the forgiveness of sins. Body of Christ given for you for the forgiveness of sins. Body of Christ given for you for the forgiveness of sins. Body of Christ given for you.
Given for you for the forgiveness of all your sins.
body of Christ given for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The body of Christ given for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins.
Amen.
The body of Christ given for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins.
Amen.
The body of Christ given for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The body of Christ given for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Christ given for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. body of Christ given for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The body of Christ given for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The body of Christ given for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins.
Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us to the same in faith towards you and in fervent love towards one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.